Going to be speaking this morning on the law of the harvest. In Galatians 6 and 7, I read this comment concerning that verse that called it a proverb of the New Testament. Now we know that the book of Proverbs is written on various subjects and topics that have to do with everyday life, with our spiritual life as well as our temporal life. I had never thought of this verse as being in light of a proverb, but I'm going to give it this morning as a proverb of the New Testament. And when we quote it, I know you will be familiar with it. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, when we consider the Proverbs, which was written in the Old Testament under Solomon, if we look at this verse, we say that it has been, the theory of it has been known of man from the beginning. It's been ordained of God, the very law of, we're going to say, of harvest. It was the very law of God, the very principle of His creation had to do with sowing and reaping or harvesting. And it's just, when you think of the principle of nature, if God had not had such a law, man could not have been sustained, nor the animals of the earth. But the very fact that nature sows its own seeds and reproduces, and that in itself will sustain man. It isn't just the one seed bore one seed, but one seed bore many seeds or many fruit of that seed. There is a principle in reaping and sowing that, first of all, what you reap has been sown. It is identical or has to do with the seed that was sown. In other words, and we all know this, when we plant our gardens, we plant corn and expect to get corn. Of every vegetable that we plant, we don't look for it to produce something else. What we plant, we expect it to produce that fruit. The second thought is that it not only produces the same kind of fruit or what is sown, but it produces much more of what is sown in every case that I can think of. We have these huge trees out here. And we all know that the acorns, that these trees don't just drop one acorn. They drop thousands. So many that we could not count them. And that's the law of harvest. Now, if God didn't have it that way, man would have to be working many times harder to be sustained for their food. But the one seed produces much more and well sufficient to feed mankind. When you see a farmer out plowing a wheat field, and maybe in a few short weeks you see the little green blades coming up, we don't really stop and think how many bushels of wheat are produced per acre. But it's the law of harvest. God ordained it to be that way. It was in his wisdom that he chose to cause the sowing to produce much more than just the sowing. In the 19th chapter of Psalms, we have some identifying characteristics of God. And it says the law of God is perfect. It then says the testimony of the Lord is sure. Now, the only way that a harvest can be hindered is through other elements of the nature itself. Drought, late freezes, that hinders a harvest. It can hinder too much rain, can also hinder the amount of harvest. So there are elements that can hinder the reproduction of the sowing and the reaping. But the actual law of God concerning harvest is perfect. He knows what he's doing in all of the phases of our weather, our nature itself. You and I do not depend as readily on the weather like the farmer does. The farmers, no doubt, if they are God-fearing, are many times on their knees, "Lord, protect my crop. Let my crop bear." We've had testimonies down through the years, and I love these kind of testimonies. I'll give one. It was a saint, I believe they lived up by Dover, and they were poor, and they depended on that harvest of that crop in that particular field. And they needed rain. They were in a drought. A cloud came up. Rain fell on their field. Only. Oh, I want to tell you, those kind of things just sort of put a little chill down my spine. God is so good. And he hears our cries. He knows how to help us, that we can have this harvest. And now that's literal. Now, as we think on sowing and reaping, most of the time we think of it in the negative. And there's a positive and a negative side of sowing and reaping. And maybe I know I did. My mother quoted this scripture to me growing up. I quoted it to my children growing up. And we need to have that ever present in our minds, because the choices that we make in life is like sowing seeds, and we're going to reap many times over. But you know, I believe this morning that the Lord is wanting us to think of the positive side of sowing and reaping. I believe he wants to have that harvest in our life that is a blessing, not only to our own lives, our families, our those we come in contact. You can be a blessing I can be a blessing to those we come in contact with. But I believe God is desiring for you and me to bless Him, to be a blessing to God Himself. So we're going to think on these terms as more in the positive than the negative. I believe we all understand the negative pretty readily, don't we? Maybe we've even experienced reaping some negative things in our life. And look back and we'll say, you know, I sowed that seed. We understand that. So I want us to turn this morning to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8 to start off with. Chapter 9. Verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. Now, this morning we could talk about giving money, but I believe the Lord is calling for you and me to give of ourselves, to be of service to our families, our companions, to be of service to those we work with, those that we are acquainted with, those that we just rub shoulders with slightly at the grocery store. Are you amazed when somebody at the store gives you a smile? What is the response? A frown? No, we will give a smile. Or if you have given someone else a smile, what you get back? See, the smile is the seed. The service is the seed. The love shown is the seed. And what do we want back? What do we expect back? And the Lord is able to make you and me abound to every good work. Whatever He allows to come into your life, every opportunity. It is not for our reputation. God forbid. We would feel probably embarrassed. We should feel embarrassed if the word got around, well, brother so-and-so is just, and begin to lift them up. We would, but our purpose is for others to be blessed and for the name of God to be lifted up. Okay, now I'm going to skip back up to verse 6. And it says, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. That's the law of the harvest. I'm going to say this. I don't mean to embarrass Lauren Vance, but he and I have different opinions on sowing grass seed. And sometimes I want a good stand of grass. And I have even slipped out and oversowed it. He's a little more of the nature of just sowing it a little sparingly. It's very obvious when you are sparing in your sowing that it will reap only what you sow. It's not going to multiply those seeds once they're in the ground. Sow abundantly. Now that's just a temporal thing, but it's an obvious lesson. But in our lives, let us sow bountifully. Let's not hold back our reservations. Let's give and give and give. Do you think you're going to outgive the Lord? You will never outgive the Lord. Now, I understand there's some wisdom in here. We're talking of logic this morning, of giving unto the Lord, serving His people, serving mankind, serving those, being that light. As was said in the prayer, a city that is set on a hill that others are looking at and being blessed by. I really believe the Lord wants His people to start sowing abundantly and begin to reap abundantly. Let's go on reading now. Some of this is going to be a little negative, but we're going to balance it with the positive. Let's go now to Galatians, the 6th chapter, very familiar scriptures, and we're going to look at verse 4 and then 7 through 10. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I believe the Lord wants us to be pleased with the blessings He gives us in life when we have sowed bountifully and we begin to reap the blessings of that. I believe He wants us to enjoy the blessings that He has and have that rejoicing in Himself alone and not in another. Now skip down to verse 7. And it says, be not deceived. We've already quoted this one. Don't you be deceived. God will not be mocked. Either way, you might say, well, that's for the negative. No, it's for the positive too. If God said it, He will honor His word. You can trust in it. You can believe in it. If He says there is a blessing for the righteous who sow bountifully, there is a blessing there. And we don't want to disregard it. Yes, we want to think of the negative, but let's think of the positive this morning. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit. See the positive here? Oh, Lord, direct our sowings to the Spirit, that we shall of the Spirit reap something. Life everlasting. What greater reward could we have? We've been sowing to the Spirit. We have a hope of life eternal, the greatest reward of all. And then it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Do you ever get weary in well-doing? We can be tempted to be weary in well-doing. But it says, for in due season, you're going to reap something. Keep doing well, even when you don't see anything happening. You keep on doing it. Because in time, you're going to reap something that's good. It's the law of the harvest. His word has ordained it to be so. He's not going to go back on his word. He's going to do for you and me what he says he will do if we do our part. Thank the Lord. Okay. I want to turn to Proverbs 11. I have several scriptures this morning. In this particular chapter, we're going to look at 24 and 25, 27, 29 through 31, and then back up to verse 18. So verse 24, chapter 11, it says, "There is that scattereth, and yet it increaseth." What does that mean? You throw it out there, and it still comes back. It still will increase. I said a little bit ago, can you outgive God? No. God notes our giving. Money, time, effort, all of these things has to do with life. But there is this that can scatter and yet increase. And then there is that that is withholden, but it tendeth to poverty. When we have a tight fist, and I don't mean money altogether, but it can mean money. But if I'm not willing to give of my time, my efforts, my talents, we have a song that says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." We have a song that says, take my love. Oh, I don't have that songbook up here, but that song up here, but there's many things that that song says, you take this. I want it to be a blessing. And so there is that which will tend to poverty when we withhold our hand to do what we can do. The liberal soul shall be fat. Liberal, free, willing. Oh, it's a blessing to just give and give and give again. Doesn't the word of the Lord indicate that God does that? He gives and he gives. What if he withheld from you and me? But he gives. His grace is well sufficient. And he gives us all things in life to enjoy. So the liberal soul shall be fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So you water somebody's life, you'll be watered. Verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You got the two ends of the pole there in that verse. Verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. I want to tell you something. Your family should be first. Your family should reap the benefits of your good life. If it doesn't happen in your home, how can you go out there and help a friend? Oftentimes, and we have some scriptures, that it will speak about what we do for friends. Don't disregard that and say that doesn't mean my family. Do it to your family first. Prove your loyalty. Prove your desire to be a blessing to your family. And so it says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. But look at the last two verses. Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Oh, I want to be wise. We always want to be wise to win our family, don't we? First. Oh, make that our goal. Make that our purpose. But always want to be a blessing to others out there. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. You're going to reap the law of the harvest. It will come back to you. Ecclesiastes now, the 11th chapter also. We're going to look at 1 through 3 and then verse 6. Oh, wait just a second. I didn't go back up to verse 18 in that. It says, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. You don't need to worry about not having a reward. If it's not in this life, it will be in the life to come. And now the 11th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and then down to verse 6. And it says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Just throw it out there. Actually, when we're going to read a scripture, it says for us not to look for the reward. But we're to do it. But the law of harvest, it will come to us. What we sow, either good or bad. It says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. What are you full with? Are you filled? Let us be filled with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, with the same purpose of God. Let us be filled as a cloud is filled with rain. And then he gives it out. In verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. You know what this is talking about? When we're young, don't withdraw from sowing seed when you're young. And then when you're in the evening, when you're older, don't withhold your hand even then. Continue to sow these good seeds. Be a blessing to others. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. They can both be good. Let it be the benchmark of your life, that I want to sow good seeds in the earth. I want to help others. You know, the truth is that when you and I help others, we really are blessed. We really receive a blessing when we help others. It's just the joy of it. And I've told this before, but I shall never forget it. Driving down the interstate and see a car broke down on the side, and two older people and two young people and a baby up under the bridge there. And the Lord said, help those people. And I have never been so instructed. And I wasn't very far from my house. It was a very hot day, and I was going to run home and get some cold water and take to them. And I was also wanted to call Rosie and get a quick They were Spanish-speaking people, evidently, and I quickly could not speak Spanish, and I quickly wanted to find out how to say this phonetically. But I got back, and they were gone. I was so disappointed. But I looked down the road a little farther, and there they were, broke down again. And I ran down there. I cannot tell you the joy that I felt because it was ordered of the Lord. And I ran up and I'm trying to say these things in Spanish and they could speak English. One could. But you know, when I left there, this is what I said to the Lord. Lord, I want to do this every day. Those kind of things don't happen every day, but you avail yourself of the opportunities. God will bless it. It will be a joy to you just like it was to me that day. Oh, He wants to bless us. So it may not be every day, but I would enjoy that kind of life every day. But He wants us to be ready when we have the chance to be something, do something for somebody. So now Titus 2:14, the latter part of that verse. I'm going to connect the first part. He purified unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, let us be zealous to sow these wonderful good seeds, for there will be a harvest. It will happen. I don't think we're looking for the harvest so much in this life. Okay, let's go now to Luke, the 6th chapter. Lord, bless us. And I'm going to read verse 38. No, I'm going to start at verse 35. No, I am going to go back up to verse 27. This is such a rich part of the scriptures. Jesus said, I say unto you, which hear, let us hear this morning, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And then down to verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, I believe we all know how we want to be treated. I believe that we all know how we should treat others. If we're living for the Lord, I believe the Lord instills that in us and teaches us that through various lessons that He puts in our life. Even as children. Levi and Rowan has a new little kitten and they have to be taught how to treat that little kitten in a good way. And so when they're not treating the little kitten in a good way, what do? We say, do you want to be treated that way? They can understand that. And the Lord uses little lessons like that down through our life. Yes. Even if it's an animal. I believe God wants us to be respectful to all creatures. But He wants us to know how to treat others. Verse 32 says, if we love them which love us. I'm going to put this in that term. What think have ye? Verse 33, if we do good to them which do good to us, what think have ye? And then verse 35 says, but love and do good, hoping for nothing again. Oh, that's when the Lord wants to pour himself out upon us and give us that grace and that power. And it's so rich when he does that. When we know we have done right. When we know we have shown love. When we know that we have did the good. And we don't hope for anything back. But listen, it says, your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. What a high compliment to be a child of the King. Identified by the goodness in our life that comes from him. And then verse 36. If ye therefore, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Why? Because we want mercy shown to us. We have to first be merciful to others. But it will come back to us. Great will be our reward. Don't look for it, but it'll be there. It's the law of the harvest. What you sow, you're going to reap. God has ordained it to be so. And then verse 38, give. Give what? Give yourself. Oh, give what you can. It says give what you've purposed to give. Money is part of it, but I want to tell you, giving of ourselves is more than the money. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. It's the law of the harvest. It's what God has ordained. Yes, we understand sowing bad seeds, but we need to understand there is a reward to the righteous that are sowing the seeds of the righteous. Thank the Lord. Turn to John 15 and verses 12 and 13. Oh, I want this to be in my life. Verses 12 and 13. It says that this is my commandment. Now, if a commandment is his law, he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And again, I want to restate, lay down your life for your family first. Then lay down your life for your friends. 1 Corinthians, we have just two more verses. The 15th chapter and verse 58. And it says, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's the law of the harvest. You will receive a harvest for the seeds that you have sown to others. And our final scripture is 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And then it's very familiar. It simply says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's our reason for the life that we live. It is lived as unto the Lord. May the Lord help us that we can see the benefit of sowing the good seed and reaping the great reward of the righteous. It's a law, and it can't change. God's word doesn't change. I don't think that we're preaching a doctrine of benefit from our sowing necessarily, but we are. And the scripture also says, forget not all of his benefits. It's a great benefit to live for the Lord. We may hear people say sometimes, this is the best way to live. And maybe even when they're going through hard places and dark places, they can still say, this is the best way to live. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.